So, what's trending? Bridging your Catholic faith with your everyday life. You're listening to Trending with Timory on Relevant Radio.
Welcome to our weekly Marriage Hour here on Trending. We're also continuing on with our series on prudence, the cardinal virtue of prudence. This is day four of our week-long series, How to Grow in This Great Virtue. Everything from understanding what on earth prudence is, getting into the theology and philosophy of prudence, touching on it from a prayerful perspective, how it is important for us taking command of our lives. Today we're going to unpack in our prudence series how to be prudent in everyday life. I'm going to touch on three areas: money, health, and issues of the heart. So stay tuned. Be with me here. We're touching on, again, our prudence series, day four of five. You're joining us during our weekly marriage hour. We're going to kick off today talking about meeting each other's needs, his needs versus her needs. I actually learned a lot from this. I've walked through some of this so far with my husband and want to continue to. It'll be excellent homework for you to do with your spouse as well. Coming up in just a little bit, joining me will be Jim O'Day. He's the executive director of Integrity Restored, and he's worked in everything from homeland defense, security, sales, to now working with people who struggle with pornography addiction, sexual addictions. And we're going to discuss some great news, and that is healing stories from marriages that have been impacted by sexual addiction and how healing can come to your marriage as well. And we're also going to walk through a marriage challenge, three things that you can do every day to grow closer to your spouse and to God. Well, maybe take an hour, maybe a little less, dispersed throughout the day. But there are three things you can work on. And in fact, my husband and I were just talking about it. We are going to do this. So I hope you'll join us as well, whether you're seasoned in your marriage or just getting started or discerning marriage, even if you don't have a spouse yet. This is the hour for you. You're listening to Trending with Timory here on Relevant Radio. I was sent this fantastic piece. It's an article that comes from a novelist known as Miralee Farrell. Maybe you've read some of her books, which, by the way, her novels are clean. She has series for teenagers as well as for adults. Now, grant, she does have and write romance novels. So, gentlemen, I mean, if you're into that, great. But otherwise, it's probably more for the ladies. But what's nice is that these are clean novels, and this comes from a person of faith. She's been married for over 40 years, and she has this fascinating blog on her website. She was reading a book titled His Needs, Her Needs by Willard Harley. And this book, fantastic for us to ponder, laid out a number of things that she found incredibly insightful. And there are five things that are a man's most basic needs in marriage, and the five most basic needs for a woman in marriage. And she actually talks about how to meet them and basically become that irresistible spouse for your spouse or as you work toward marriage. I'd love to hear your thoughts if you have something to share on this. Number is 1-888-914-9149. This is true homework for every and any couple who wants to grow in their relationship. You can evaluate this. And in fact, this is what I did. I said, okay, listen, this is listed in this article, man's five most basic needs in marriage. Let's talk about how we're doing. I rattled them off and said, where do you see that we need to work on? What struggles are there? Led to a very lively conversation, a lot of things learned, and in fact, a lot of humility and opportunity for growth. So I hope that you will check out this article and ponder these things and maybe even return to it time and time again. I'll have Lucas, if you can go ahead and post a link to this on social media now, it's something you can print out and take notes and maybe reevaluate once a month, once every couple months, depending on where you're at when you first have this conversation. So you ready for it? Here are man's five most basic needs in marriage. Number one, big surprise, sexual fulfillment. Number two, recreational companionship. Three, an attractive spouse. Four, domestic support. And five, admiration. I don't think anyone who's married is surprised, or anyone who spent a good amount of time dating or with someone of the opposite sex. In fact, about all five of these being incredibly important. I'm going to cut to the chase and give you the answer as to why and how a spouse can fulfill these, and then we'll talk about them a little bit. So, a woman who would meet her husband's needs in these five areas would do the following. Number one, sexual fulfillment. She would work on meeting his needs for intimacy and becoming an excellent partner to him. Now, get ready, because this actually touches on a conversation I'll be having shortly with Jim O'Day when it comes to challenges surrounding intimacy. Everything from pornography, sexual addictions, and even abuse. What do you do, and can a marriage be healed? We'll walk you through some of the incredible stories and changes that he's worked with people through as a coach in this area. The second need that a man has is recreational companionship. So in this book, this excerpt from it by Willard Harley, the excerpt emphasizes that a woman would meet a man's need for recreational companionship by developing mutual interests with her husband. Now, this is great and easy if you have mutual things in common. In fact, my husband and I were saying this is an area where we do quite well, because we have a lot of things we both like to do. We both love hiking. We both love reading. We love sitting outside. We love doing outdoor activities. So there's recreational companionship. Do you know what your recreational companionship is? And this is a great question. Patrick just asked, was there anything you didn't have in common? Yeah, there was plenty we didn't have in common. My husband liked hiking, but not the way I did. Now I think he actually likes hiking even more than I do, and it would be quicker to jump up at maybe 4 a.m. in the morning to go on a hike than I perhaps would be. Now, let's go ahead and touch on number three for a man's need. And actually, before we go there, just to ponder for a moment, recreational companionship. This could be different for everyone. It could be that you exercise together. It could be that you go fishing together. Sitting doesn't require a lot of movement. But finding activities that you can do in common. Number three for the five most basic needs in marriage is having an attractive spouse. Now, ladies, I know this can be a point of contention. I have the kids, I have this, I have that, I'm struggling with my weight, I get it. But the bottom line is that we should be striving to be attractive toward our spouse, working to the best ability to be physically fit with everything from diet to exercise, even trying to wear our hair, makeup, and clothes in a way which complements us, but also complements what our husband likes. There's nothing wrong with still trying to please your spouse. For some reason, we're all about pleasing the people we date, but once we get married, we think they should just take us as we are. Why not? It can be an area to work on, for sure, and to not be so bitter and sensitive about. And hey, you might find it's more simple than you think. Ask your husband what he likes. Even if it's 20, 30, 50 years into marriage, it doesn't hurt to find out, even if you think you know. In fact, I outright asked my husband, am I doing a good job here? Am I maybe feel a little frumpy too often when you come home or on the weekends? And he emphasized, hey, I actually really enjoy your frumpiness as well. Now, this wasn't a criticism. This was him emphasizing you don't always have to be dressed, fully dressed, nicely, with makeup on, wearing a dress, whatever it might be, but that our spouses love us in a more simple fashion as well. And sometimes we think that we have to put effort into the wrong areas when it comes to this. Number four, domestic support. What does that mean? Well, author here emphasizes that this means that as a wife, we're meeting the needs of creating a home that offers our spouse an atmosphere of peace and quiet. Are we cultivating a home life that is peaceful, welcoming, encouraging, or does your spouse go from work to home and home is more work and anxiety and animosity than he would like? And number five is admiration. Spouse needing admiration. Well, what does the author here, Harley, have to say about admiration? Well, a woman would meet her husband's needs for admiration and respect by her understanding his value and achievements more than anyone else. Now, this can take effort. Maybe you need to know what he's accomplishing in not just his personal life, but work life, and complementing those things that he does at home and in work. That means we need to actually know what our spouses are doing, take interest in their projects, but also work on the interpersonal dimension. I know this is an area where I sometimes struggle because it's easy to make jokes in public or to tell stories or to have conversations that you think are secondhand or that I do, but can actually come off as critical, condescending, sarcastic to your spouse. I know, again, this is an area that I personally can work on that, if not worked on, can actually lead to many challenges. Okay, we have a woman's five most basic needs in marriage. Stay tuned. We'll go through some of this later here on the show. You're joining us during our weekly Marriage Hour here on Trending. We're talking about the needs of men and women and some of the differences. Joining me, in just a moment, he's not quite here yet, so let's keep walking through these five most basic needs. In just a minute, Jim O'Day, the Executive Director of Integrity Restored, will be joining me on the show. But here are the five most basic needs in marriage for a woman. Number one, affection. Number two, conversation. Number three, honesty and openness. Number four, financial support. And number five, family commitment. So, gentlemen, how do you meet all of these five needs? Well, first, have a conversation about them. How are we doing? How am I doing? How could I help to better meet these needs? And then reevaluate. Continue to work on it. Ask for feedback. In fact, as my husband and I were talking about this, I told him, look, this is one area. I gave one of the areas that we said we were struggling in, or that I was struggling in, to meet for him. I was like, I need concrete examples. And he's so generous to me. He says, I can't give you a concrete example because I work very hard to make sure I forgive you. I try not to hold resentment. And so when you ask me for specific examples and verbiage and situations, I can't quite give that to you because that would mean that I would have to be holding on to the grudge. I move on, I let go of it. And I thought, boy, as a woman, I can learn a lot from this because we tend as women to hold on to grudges. So maybe if there's a particular area that you're struggling in, finding ways to check up regularly if perhaps your spouse can't remember specific examples because he's already forgiven you and he's moved on. Find other ways to check up and work and learn and grow. The reality is that there are many elements of breakdown within the context of marriage. Examples we had, what we witness and see in media, what we expect, what other people expect. How do we find the means? Where is the ideal? How do we combat our own weaknesses and challenges and faults to grow in meeting our spouse's needs and vice versa? So here's how a woman can become, as the author writes, irresistible to her spouse in meeting these five needs. Need number one, affection. We're going to walk through these kind of quickly here. Number one is that he meets her needs for affection with plenty of hugs, kisses at every opportunity is what the author writes here. And I kind of laughed because it does sound somewhat cheesy. But the reality is women, majority, and again, we're generalizing, tend to love physical affection, but not sex the way men do. Not that we don't love intimacy, but we're looking for a different kind of affection. I guess you could say, in a sense, the snuggly affection. And it's important. And this is a means of affection. And even the simplicity of holding a hand, giving the hug, or giving the gentle kiss every morning before you leave for work, or even before you leave early for the gym, or before you go to bed, not forgetting to keep that affection alive and present, even with years of marriage. The second need for a woman from her husband is, do you remember? Conversation. Ooh, conversation. And in fact, we're going to have a challenge today with Jim O'Day here on Trending to walk through this. So a husband would meet her need for intimate conversation by talking with your spouse at the feeling level. This is kind of hard. How do you do that? How do you talk to your spouse about your feeling? Well, one thing I've noticed, and I'll give this tip for husbands, When your wife asks you, how was your day? Just be honest. Good, bad, great. Start with that. And then maybe give a one sentence answer to give her a little bit more to work with. Well, why was it just okay? Well, because I was overwhelmed today. You just shared a feeling. And she can work with you from there. You don't have to do all the work. Let's say you said, oh, my day was great. Well, say a one sentence response as to why it was great. It was great because I finished X project. That's as simple as it is. Or let's say you respond. For example, today I asked my husband, how was your day? And he kind of had this hesitation. I can't remember what he said. Maybe it was okay. Apparently I need to work on listening. But I said, well, why? What was going on? And he's like, well, it was a slow day. And then he stopped and he looked at me. I said, oh, it was a slow day. Why? He said, actually, it was a good thing. I appreciated the slowness of the day. Because he realized that today's pace of work has been totally different from the last few weeks. Fast pace, overwhelming, lots of deadlines and projects. And so he actually really appreciated the slower pace today. What did I just learn? Well, then my husband maybe needs a slower night. And that he appreciated having it during the day. So again, giving a one sentence further explanation on why your day was good, bad, ugly, okay, or even just fine. Can we get away from using that word fine? How do you interpret that? What is fine? I would love to know what fine is. Gentlemen, if your spouse says fine, fine is never fine for women. I want to know. Okay, guys, is fine just fine for you? Okay, it just means okay. Are we sure here? Lucas, I need you to weigh in here. Fine means okay. And does okay mean meh? Like, eh? Does it? Kind of? So it's not terrible, but it's not great. It's like, okay. Nothing thrilling occurred. Interesting. Okay, I'm learning so much here. Okay, number three. Jim O'Day's joining us just a minute here. Number three is a woman needs needs to be met. Honesty and openness. This really builds on the last thing we said. But here's the deal. You, as a husband, must meet the need for honesty and openness. And here's one simple way you can do that. By looking your spouse in the eyes. Now, I know this can be hard. As I've said before, that's a little creepy, Patrick. He's looking at me in the eyes real close here. You're not my spouse. Just saying. Back it up. I need my space. So, what happens here? Well, you look your spouse in the eyes. I know it's hard, but even when you're arguing or sharing something important, even if you do it for just a few seconds at a time to build up to longer intervals of eye-to-eye contact. I remember when we were in college, my husband and I would need to talk about something. And he, let's say it was something challenging, would want to jump in the car and drive for hours, talking and driving aimlessly. I would want to sit down, let's say on the sidewalk, look into each other's faces and have a conversation. So it would happen, I'd be in the car and I'd practically be twisting around in front of him to try and somehow make that eye contact. Lo and behold, we've definitely learned since college better ways to communicate and walk through challenging moments so that we're not a hazard on the road. You're listening to Trending with Tim Ray. Two more needs that a woman has that need to be met. Number four, financial support. That is, husbands, even if your wife is a radical feminist who thinks and claims she needs no man, even if your spouse is working as well, every woman, and many studies have shown this of late, that women, even those people who think men and women are no different, women across the board need men to be that financial support by firmly shouldering the responsibility to house, feed, and clothe his family. Simple. I don't have to explain it. It's so important to us as women. You have no idea. Number five is family commitment. A woman needs this from her spouse, that the husband is putting in his family time first, seeing his family first, prioritizing, and that he's committing time and energy and setting aside intentionally to develop and grow the family and the moral, intellectual, and spiritual journey. So Those are your five pieces of homework to become an irresistible spouse to your spouse. And those are the five needs that your spouse needs, or maybe you yourself need. Coming back, I'm going to be joined by Jim O'Day. He's the executive director of Integrity Restored. And we're going to unpack great stories of healing marriages, getting help from sexual addiction. And we have a marriage challenge for you. Three things you can do to grow closer and in prayer. Catholic Order of Foresters is proud to sponsor the Relevant Radio Studio line. For information about employment opportunities and flexible premium life insurance plans, visit relevantradio.com/forester.
We're talking about what you're thinking about. You're listening to Trending with Timory on Relevant Radio and the Relevant Radio app.
Welcome to our weekly Marriage Hour here on Trending. We're going to continue on with our Prudence series, our week-long series on prudence, in just a little bit. Today, for our Prudence series, we're going to discuss how to be prudent in everyday life, from money, health, to issues of the heart. However, joining me now is Jim O'Day. He's the executive director of Integrity Restored, helping those who are struggling with a pornography addiction, as well as those who have been impacted by their loved ones who are struggling with addiction. And in fact, that's what our conversation now has to do. Now, don't go away. We have a marriage challenge for you. Three things for you to do every day, simply, to grow in your relationship and to grow in prayer. But first, I want to unpack how important it is to heal within marriage and get help for sexual addiction. Jim O'Day works regularly and coaches spouses through the challenges that occur in marriage, from past sexual wounds to pornography to sexual addiction, unrealistic expectations within the marital act, and even harmful things that occur. The reality is, if this is you, there is a possibility for hope and healing. In fact, we'd love to hear your stories. You can share your stories by emailing me at trending@relevantradio.com or just head over to relevantradio.com/trending to contact me. Jim O'Day, welcome to Relevant Radio here on Trending.
Hello, Miss Timory. So good to be with you again.
Thanks for joining me. Can you share some success stories of marriages that were significantly struggling from unrealistic expectations surrounding sexuality or even addiction within the marriage?
It's so funny, Timory. Most of the phone calls we get, especially from the wives, there's been disclosure of the husband's porn addiction or sex addiction, or the wife just can't keep up anymore with the demands. And almost in every first conversation, I don't know how this is ever going to work. This is impossible. I can't do this.
Despair.
There's no help. There's no hope. And I'm just going to tell you a story about a couple I started working with about a year ago. A really, really bad addiction for the husband since he was 12 years old. And, you know, now he's probably in his late 30s-ish, maybe 40. The wife didn't think there was any recovery for the marriage. And so they listened, both parties listened to what we tell them. And the first is, you've got to get professional scientific help. You got to see a counselor. You got to go to a 12-step group. Mm-hmm. The wife has to see a counselor for her betrayal trauma. She's got to be part of a community of healing, whether that's her sister, her family, whatever. She needs somebody. You have to increase your spiritual life individually and as a couple. Frequent reception of the sacraments. Find a spiritual director. And then finally, accountability. And so they did all these things, and I've worked with them for the past year as their coach, both independently and together. And they had to separate for a period of time, Timory, because he was not at the place where he was willing to accept, admit, understand his addiction. So they separated. Now they're back together. And their marriage is flourishing better than ever before. You were just talking about, I think it was step number two, right? Or point number two, communication. That was a big part of their problem. They couldn't communicate with each other. So between the therapists and myself and local Catholic programs and groups at their parish, they were able to learn how to talk to each other, how to forgive each other, how to have mercy on each other. And now this is just an incredible couple who are flourishing, who are doing great. And he's been sober for probably about 6 months from pornography, which is part of the amazing story. Because his first private conversation with me is, Mr. O'Day, I've been doing this since I was like 12 years old. I'm never going to stop.
Praise the Lord. And he has. He has.
Amen.
And maybe you're listening right now and you are despairing over what you think is happening in your spouse's life, what you know is happening, maybe what you've just discovered is happening in his private life surrounding intimacy, addiction, pornography. This is a story of hope and healing. A man who's starting at 12 years old, for years into a marriage, years into many children later, I imagine. And here he is. He didn't think it was possible. And he's been completely clean of pornography for over 6 months. This is possible for you and your marriage. I guess the answer and the question here is, how can this occur in someone else's marriage as well? What are the steps to take for healing?
Well, I think I have to be careful. I don't want to mention any names, but I think the toughest part for the wife was, number one, first admitting she needed help. That betrayal trauma that she's suffering is very much like PTSD. So she needed help too. And her initial reaction, his was, I don't have an addiction. This is not a problem. It's no big deal. And her reaction was, it's not my problem. It's his. Why should I have to do anything? Mm-hmm. So the first thing was her reaching out and getting help. And that was critical. The second thing where we really had to work for a long time with her was setting appropriate boundaries. Because without those boundaries, she was on this constant roller coaster with him. And there's no way for the marriage to recover when emotionally, psychologically, even spiritually, you're on this constant roller coaster ride. So she had to learn to set these boundaries. And it's essential, because if we want this marriage to continue, if we want this marriage to get better, she has to feel safe. She has to feel secure. She has to feel confidence in the relationship and hope in the relationship. And her biggest problem, I was thinking about this before I came on air. Why did she struggle with it so much? Well, she saw boundaries as punishments.
Wow.
She saw boundaries as she was punishing him. And so we really had to work at her understanding what appropriate boundaries really are.
And how that can be an act of love for your spouse.
There's no question. There's no question. Absolutely. And there's a quote I always use. I don't even know who wrote it, but it says, how people treat you is a reflection of them. What you accept is a reflection of you.
Wow. Very powerful.
And so she started to learn, wait a minute, I have worth. I am God's beloved daughter. I shouldn't accept this. And she put some really strong boundaries in place about his recovery and their intimacy. And that really helped the marriage, because it also gave him what we call in the addiction business, rock bottom. Mm-hmm. Once he wouldn't meet those boundaries and they had to separate for a time, he realized what he lost. Mm-hmm. He realized there was consequences. Mm-hmm. And so therefore, he started to be willing to do the work.
Fantastic. Praise the Lord. And I think that this is especially important for men, because men tend to need to hit rock bottom before they can turn things around. And so these boundaries are something that can be extremely helpful. I even think of the story of Terry Crews, the actor, comedian we all many yes. know. And he has shared about his addiction to pornography, the damage it did to his relationship with his wife, Rebecca, many years now, and how she outright kicked him out of the house. She yep. had strong, clear, bold expectations when he came to her that he had been struggling with a pornography addiction for years and everything else that he had been doing. And that kicking him out of the house is what was necessary for him to change and for her to heal as well. And so I think that these are so important. What are the key steps? So you mentioned setting boundaries as a spouse. You've mentioned therapy, counseling. What else do you have if you were to give that step-by-step direction, and how can people reach you at Integrity Restored to work with you as a coach?
Sure. So my email at Integrity Restored is Jimo, J-I-M-O, at integrityrestored.com. Just drop me a note and I will definitely get back in touch with you. The most important thing to do to start this process, even from the addict's perspective, make that phone call. Reach out to somebody. Talk to a professional. Talk to your priest. Find somebody you trust to be your accountability partner. And it's not your wife. It's not her job. She's going to need her own healing as well.
Praise the Lord. And you have an organization for that. You have integrityrestorer.com. We'll post the link in the show notes. You can also reach out to Jim. He's shared his email. We'll post that in the show notes for today's podcast as well, where you can contact him. Maybe you want to have help in coaching through the challenges in your marriage surrounding intimacy, addiction, maybe even the need for physical separation, but from a faith-filled perspective with faith-filled counselors and therapists. This is the place, integrityrestored.com. But also, they have an organization called Bloom for Catholic Women, which is to help you if you are a spouse who's experienced betrayal. That is a place for you to receive the healing and the community necessary. In fact, our very own regular guest, Sister Tina Alfieri, is one of the main counselors and support there at bloomforcatholicwomen.com. So we'll post notes to that in the show notes for today, relevantradio.com/trending, as well as we'll get those up over the next couple minutes on social media as well. But I want to encourage you, perhaps you have seen the miraculous in your marriage. Tell your story. I would love for you Amen. To email me by emailing me at trending@relevantradio.com. Again, that's trending@relevantradio.com. We'd love to hear your story and share your story of healing in the face of the impossible within marriage. We'll come back in just a minute here with the Executive Director of Integrity Restored, Jim O'Day, to discuss a 3-part challenge he has for spouses to grow closer and in prayer. We'll be right back.
Bridging your Catholic faith with your everyday life. You're listening to Trending with Timory on Relevant Radio and the Relevant Radio app.
He's on Prudence here on Trending. Join me in just a moment as we talk about prudence in the practical things of day-to-day life, from your heart to your health to your pocketbook. Joining me now, before we go there, is Jim O'Day, the Executive Director of Integrity Restored. Again, integrityrestored.com, helping those who are struggling with pornography addiction, as well as their loved ones who have been betrayed. Is this you? We're including links on social media now if you'd like to reach out for help or work with Jim. You can also visit the links found in the show notes for today's podcast at relevantradio.com/trending. I'm going to ask you to do something. Help someone you know who's struggling in their marriage with addiction, harmful intimate behavior, among other things, by sharing this podcast and these resources. Let's talk about a marriage challenge that any of us, seasoned or newly married, can engage in. Jim, you have a marriage challenge. I love your coaching work and everything you do with spouses. What would you give a married couple as a challenge to grow in their faith as well as their closeness?
It's a really simple one. I'm calling it the 30-day Jimmery challenge. And it's very simple. Every day, you and your spouse, whether it's in the morning or the evening after dinner, you get outside and you walk 1 mile together. You talk or pray the rosary or whatever you want to do. Just go out for a mile walk every single day for the next 30 days. The next thing is, at the end of the day, before you guys, after you put the kids to bed, before you're going to bed, you carve out 15 minutes, put it on a timer on your cell phone. You sit on the couch or on your deck or wherever you want to. You hold hands, you look at each other, and you just go over your highs and lows for the day. What was your high point of the day? What was your low point of the day? Now, here's the important things, ladies and gentlemen. The listener who's hearing that doesn't offer solutions, doesn't try and fix anything, doesn't have a commentary on it. You just hear what that other person is saying, nothing more. And then it's your turn. So you go back and forth, 15 minutes, you're all done, go to bed. The final thing is, when you wake up in the morning, and this might mean you need to get up 20 minutes earlier, you put 20 minutes on your cell phone. And that 20 minutes is for Lectio Divina. I know
that sounds good. Which means divine reading for those who don't know their Latin there.
Yeah, I know. And it sounds really difficult. And I used to hear people say, oh, I do Lectio Divina. And I'd be like, well, cool. I'm a moron. I don't even know what that means. That must be really hard. It's not hard.
Like, I can't even spell that.
Right, exactly. I'm going to give you what I call Jim O'Day's Lectio Divina for Dummies, because this is what I needed. And a good friend of mine, Franciscan priest, told me to do this. In the morning, in the Gospels, you pick and start somewhere. I don't care where. And you read a passage, a couple sentences, doesn't matter. But you ask yourself three questions. The first question is, who am I in this story? If I was there, who would I be? The second question is, what is God saying to me? What is Jesus saying to me in this story, in this passage, in this gospel? And the third question, what is he asking me to do with that? And you and your wife are going to do that every morning. So you're going to sit down, you're going to read a Bible passage. You're going to ask yourself, who am I? What is Jesus saying to me? And what is he asking me to do with that? And you're going to share that back and forth with each other. Now, if we time this out throughout the whole day, ladies and gentlemen, 20 minutes for Lectio Divina in the morning, a 1 mile walk, figure 10, 15 minutes at an easy pace, and 15 minutes of highs and lows. That little conversation. That is nothing compared to the amount of time we waste on television, social media, playing games on our phones. This is an investment for the next 30 days that is going to pay dividends in your relationship for years to come.
Praise the Lord.
The 30-day Jimmery Challenge.
You can do it now. Well, actually, I'll make sure that this post is up tomorrow. I'll post it on social media laid out. If you want to see it spelled out, you can print it, give it to your spouse, say, hey, we're going to start this. But this is incredibly helpful. And I love how you say it's 45 minutes of your day. The reality is it's so easy, Jim, to say, I don't have enough time. I'm so busy. I can't do one more thing. You say, okay, you want to pray more? I can't do one more thing. You want to spend more time with your spouse? I can't do one more thing. You can if you just set aside the time and commit to it. So, Jim, throwing this your way, is this something you've done with your spouse? What kind of inspired this?
What inspired this was Kim and I have done different things like this throughout the marriage. And it's not something we do every day, every week, but we've tried different things. And now in coaching all these clients. And at the end of the day, a lot of the struggle in the relationships is communication. They think it's intimacy struggles. It's really not. It's not understanding what intimacy is and communicating. And these three little things really help you build incredible communication skills, empathy, and understanding of your spouse. You know, so often when we get married, you had a new baby. I've had two kids. The marriage relationship becomes transactional. It's always about the children. What do we have to do? Or the bills? Or the
how can we get by?
Yeah. How do we get by? How do we pay the electric this month? I mean, I've been there. That is not what marriage is supposed to be. So we have to take the transactional out of it. That's important. You'll still have to do all that stuff. But 45 minutes out of 24 hours is nothing to invest in the health and success of your marriage. And I'm going to sweeten the pot, Timmery. If listeners, after the 30 days, shoot us an email, either you or me, and tell us how it goes, we'll pick from random two listeners and we'll give them a free Coaching Circle membership to Integrity Restored.
Awesome. Praise the Lord. And this is, what value is it usually for most people who want to go through this coaching program?
$100 It's about $100 for the online program.
So this is an offer. If you choose to take this marriage challenge at the end of the 30 days, let us know. We would randomly and would love to gift this to you from Integrity Restored, their Jim O'Day. Jim, thank you so much as always for joining us, especially during our marriage hour. So many stories of hope, healing, resources. Again, share this episode with someone you know and love who's struggling in their marriage. The resource can be found at relevantradio.com/trending. Podcast will be available this evening along with all of our podcasts. You can subscribe there and listen to other shows where Jim O'Day has joined us here on Trending. You just have to tap the search page at relevantradio.com/trending to hear all of the great candid advice, tips, and work that Jim is doing with people who are struggling with pornography addiction, seeking to find greater sense of happiness, and much more. Thank you for joining us, Jim. Again, find him at integrityrestored.com. That's integrityrestored.com. We've posted links on social media. You're joining us in the fourth day of our series on prudence. Today's theme, more practical, less of the theology, although I'll do a brief recap if you've not been with us, is how to be prudent in everyday life. Prudence is one of the four cardinal virtues, the preeminent of the four cardinal virtues upon which all the others flow from. Prudence, as St. Thomas Aquinas defines it, has to do with right reason applied to action. Has to do with not what our goals, what our ends are, but what means we use to get there. For example, my goal may be to drive to the grocery store, but I have to prudentially choose the means of how to get there. It would be unwise for me to walk to the grocery store because there's a sketchy neighborhood I'd have to walk through. And I don't think it's very safe for me. It would be imprudent for me, let's say, to drive a car that doesn't have current registration on it because I could get a ticket and I can't afford that. I could ride my bike. That might take me a little quicker through a dangerous area, perhaps if I stay on a main road, or I could drive a car. There are all these situations, or maybe I need to be home before someone else arrives at my house to deliver a package. I have to potentially make all these decisions. So let's talk about prudential decisions in our everyday life. First, I want to encourage you in a beautiful prayer I was reading about prudence, praying for prudence. If you want to be more prudent, if you want to grow in any virtue, pray for it. So there is a prayer to Saint Dimphna. Now, Saint Dimphna has an incredible story. I'd love to unpack it today. But the long story short is she was very quick in responding and following the advice of her confessor and spiritual director. After her father, who was a king, decided he wanted to marry her because she looked just like her mother, whom he loved and who died. When she said no, she was encouraged to flee. There's much more to her story, which is quite incredible, but Saint Dimphna is an intercessor who can plead before the heavenly throne in heaven, helping us to grow in virtue. Pray with me. You were marked in life, Saint Dimphna, by a high degree of prudence. You sought and followed the advice of your confessor and spiritual guide. You fled from temptation, even when it meant exile and poverty. In your last extremity, you chose to die rather than offend God. Please help us now by your merits not only to know what is right, but to procure for us also the strength to do it. Amen. Saint Dimphna, pray for us. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. I'll review briefly the three acts of prudence that we walked through yesterday. Number one is in making a prudential decision, you'll take counsel. You receive good counsel through prayer, through spiritual reading, through catechetical reading, through the wisdom of those who have been through similar situations, of family and friends. And then number two in that act of prudence is you judge what you have discovered. Did someone give you poor advice, manipulative advice? Did you find good information? And then now you have to apply it to a particular situation because there are universal principles, but there are also situations that might determine whether or not that choice is the right choice to make. In fact, I give some great examples of this in our first day in our series on prudence. You can check that out at relevantradio.com/trending. Number three, I then have to take my counsel, take that counsel that I've now judged, and do something with it. Command. Take a command to the will, applying to action the things counseled and judged. So let's talk about this in relation to money, health, and our pocketbook and our heart. Number one, the pocketbook. Here are four things to consider. Do I have a budget for my expenses? Number two, do I have a goal of what I'm working toward? Saving money? Starting to give charitably? Maybe living below my means rather than beyond my means, paying off debt. Number three, do I have accountability for this budget and goals? And four, do I regularly reevaluate my finances? A couple great tips. Could maybe enroll in the Dave Ramsey's program for financial planning and saving. In fact, this is actually something my husband and I recently picked up, the Dave Ramsey's program, to start working on it to work better at paying off our student loan debt. You could use the application, it's free, called Mint, where you can set your budgets and organize and have accountability there. And you can even sync it up with your spouse. Or maybe you like the old-fashioned paper and pen or a spreadsheet where you do it yourself. But again, how do you have regular accountability? Find your goals, set your budget. And work, I think, as Christians, to work on living below our means, not beyond our means, being honest and having integrity with our finances. Why would we talk about money when it comes to prudence? Because we're called to make prudential decisions with regard to our human concerns, human interactions, needs. If we're not deciding prudentially, if we're not having foresight, if we aren't taking counsel, judging, and then actually doing something about it, we're struggling with prudence. Maybe you're struggling with prudence when it comes to money. Let's talk about health. Here are questions to ask yourself. Four questions. Number one, what are my challenges when it comes to my health? Maybe I'm not getting enough movement in. Maybe I need additional agility and mobility because I want to keep up with my kids or be able to run or stay healthier. Maybe I have back pain, joint pain. Maybe I'm struggling with my weight. So what are my particular challenges? Then number two, how am I addressing them? Number three, what encouragement or resources do I need to address them? And number four, how am I measuring and reevaluating my challenges I have with my health? Maybe you're struggling with weight. Is weighing yourself every day helpful? Maybe once a week or once a month is better. Maybe measuring is more helpful or basing it on how your clothes fit. Again, there can be any number of examples, but am I making prudential decisions with my health is a big question. And what steps am I taking? Number three, the heart. First, what is my state in life? Married, single, dating, celibate, priest, or religious? Given my state in life, number two, where do I hope to be with this? That is, how you handle your chastity. How your relationship's growing. How you're growing in charity toward others and generosity. So the question is, what is getting in the way of my achieving where I hope to be in my state in life? And finally, how can I grow in charity? How can I grow in charity and how am I doing with chastity? These are all important questions that help us to make prudential decisions day to day, given our state in life, given the call to love our neighbor as ourselves, and to remember that we too need to love ourselves and God. You're listening to Trending with Timory. This is day four of our series on prudence. We'll be back tomorrow.